got called up to the big league, son. Welcome to the show. This is Schemann and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN, online at 99.3ESPN.com.
All right, greetings, everybody. 2 hours in the books, two to go. It's the 4 o'clock hour. Schemann and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Time for our weekly visit with Adam Schefter, our NFL insider from ESPN, brought to you by Naples Wealth Planning. Check out their website at betterplantoday.com and schedule a free consultation. Adam, how are you this week, sir?
Hey, Adam.
Gentlemen, how you guys doing?
We are good. Great. Hail to the victors. Congratulations. Impressive win over Wisconsin this weekend.
Yeah, the team played well. The team obviously was impressive. It will need to be that way the next 2 weeks against Michigan State and Penn State.
Speaking of not playing well, the New York Giants, and you know, you've already talked about on TV today, I'm sure, a zillion times about Mara, OBJ. I'm waiting for the response from OBJ and your whole take of this entire situation.
Well, I think that Odell said some things that were valid, but there's a time and a place to say them. Mm-hmm. And on national TV, sitting next to Little Wayne, is to do that. Mm-hmm. If you want to sit down with your head coach or your quarterback and express that to them probably, no issues with that. Look, he wanted the contract. That was the big deal. And he got the contract. And you have to be very careful. You are the face of a franchise. You are a leader. And I think that you can't say that about teammates publicly. And you can't say that about your city either. Like, this city just rewarded you to stay there long term with a $90+ million contract. How do you feel about New York?
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, this is where your fan base lives. And I just think that you have to think about everything that you're going to say publicly. And you could think all those things, too, by the way. You could say, you know what? I can't stand playing New York. It's fishbowl. You could think Eli Manning's a horrible quarterback. Really wish I played with another guy that threw the ball more downfield. You could think anything you want. But you don't have to say that.
Mm-hmm. Do you think your gut feeling, Adam, that after we saw Eli continue to struggle, and you said some of the things that Odell Beckham Jr. said were valid, do you think that Eli, in your gut feeling, finishes the year as a Giant? Does he get traded October 30th? Does he get benched at some point? What does your gut tell you right now?
Well, I would say this. I would like to see them trade him. I think that would be a fitting way where he could go to a team. Jacksonville does make a lot of sense. I don't think that it's realistic. Mm-hmm. That's not to say that it won't happen. I don't think that happens. It just doesn't seem like it's something that is on their agenda. It's not the Giant way. And it's hard to see that he would play this way all year long and continue to hold that job either. So something's got to give one way or another, right? My guess would be, if I had to assess this situation, is that they're going to lean on him as long as they possibly can until he gives them a reason to bench him, despite the fact that he struggled some. And who do you want them to turn to? You want them to turn right now to Kyle Uletti? You think he's going to be that much better? I mean, the fact of the matter is they're going to be in the draft and they're going to be looking for a quarterback in the draft again. And they want to win and they're going to try to win. And this is not the way anyone in the organization is thinking, but probably the more they lose, the better pick they get, the better it is for them long term.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they lost what, five out of six. They're at Atlanta. They're home against the Redskins. They're at the 49ers. I mean, I'm just wondering how long. What if they lose those three games in a row? I mean, I liked him at Richmond. I thought he was my sleeper. I was hoping the Patriots took him, Adam, to be honest with you, at the beginning of the draft, but. How long, what is it going to take? If he loses the next three games, even if it's, by 10 points, how long do you stay with him? Is it worth it?
Well, but again, what are the choices? You want to go to Kyle Uletta? You think Kyle Uletta is going to be that much better on a team that has Odell Beckham Jr. and Sterling Shepard and Evan Ingram and Saquon? You think Kyle Uletta increases the chances that they're going to win games? You tell me.
Right now, I'd have to see it in practice, but right now, all I know is Eli Manning is lost by 21. Okay, Panthers, tough loss in that one. They could have won that game. Gano makes the big field goal at the end, the Panthers. It just doesn't look right. I agree with you. I think the guy, if he got traded to Jacksonville, maybe a fresh scenery, a familiar face in Tom Coughlin might do him some good, but I just don't know. If you're a Giants fan and they keep losing all these games, you're right. What good is? I mean, will the letter be better? Probably not. But
no.
What does it take?
But
What if they don't win another game the rest of the year?
Well, then they go to get the first pick in the draft and go get the quarterback. That's great.
Yeah. They get Herbert from Oregon, who they love anyway, right? They've been out there, four or five weeks?
If he comes out, which, again, you would think he would, but I've spoken to people who are not convinced he will.
Hmm. We're talking with Adam Schefter with Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. Another story a little closer to home that kind of, I don't want to say took us by surprise, but we watched it develop late in the week, was Ryan Tannehill with the Dolphins, and all of a sudden Thursday comes along. I think it was Thursday or maybe Friday.
He was put as
questionable for a shoulder injury that he suffered in week three, apparently, we're learning. And then Brock Osweiler lights it up this weekend against the Bears. But Adam Gase's response after the game is what surprised me the most. He's like, I don't know. Talk to that guy. I'm tired about talking about this guy. I was surprised by the Adam Gase's tone, but can you shed any more light on the quarterback situation and the injury to Ryan Tannehill?
You know, I think people have been very intrigued about his tone and why he reacted the way he did. And the only thing I could say, I'm not excusing it in any way, I'm just trying to figure it out, is the fact that these coaches are asked about the quarterback all the time. And I just think they get tired of it and they're irritated by it. Now, they just won a huge game. They won it with Brock Osweiler. It's a huge credit to the whole team. And I think when Adam Gase did that, it took some of the focus off what the players did and put it on him for his reaction. Now, again, his team, his press conference, his way of handling things. So again, but I just think that these coaches sometimes get irritated with all the quarterback questions. I think as it related to Ryan Tannehill last week, the longer the week went on and the more he struggled, the more you sense that this is a real possibility. And on Saturday, it was interesting. When you reach out to Dolphins officials, when you reach out to people connected to Ryan Tannehill, and nobody responds, nobody,
yeah.
I'm like, okay, something's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Something's going on here. Because when nobody's responding, they are responding. They're telling me something by not responding.
Well, are you telling me Adam Schefter's calls go unanswered over the weekend?
Impossible.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah, that does happen.
But do you think your gut feeling about the Dolphins, should Tannehill's injury be a little more serious than we think, and it's all of a sudden 3, 4, 5 weeks, so is this organization, you think, prepared to go with Brock Osweiler the rest of the way?
Oh, I mean, if they had to, they would. I don't know that we'll get to that point in time. I guess it could happen, but again, they're still calling Ryan Tannehill day to day. But I think it was troubling, the fact that his shoulder regressed. Now, it had been bothering him for some time too. Like, if you go back and look at the injury reports, he had been out a few weeks before. He was on the injury report, the shoulder injury, and then they played the Bengals last week, and I think his shoulder got hammered in that game pretty good, probably aggravated whatever damage had been done at that point in time. And so when he went through the week of practice, the shoulder just went the other way, which is unusual.
Yeah.
And usually players ramp up towards the game. Mm-hmm. The more the week goes on, the more they practice. This was the opposite. He regressed and decreased the amount of reps that he took during the week. Mm-hmm.
Adam Schefter with Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. Another story semi-regionally here that caught our attention. Of course, Mike Smith gets fired as a defensive coordinator. Dirk Koetter, of course, his close friend and his boss, had to let him go. My question to you is, even though they've been giving up 35 points a game, the Buccaneers have, had they won that game, had Deshaun Jackson made that freakish play on the pitch back at the end of the play, do you think he would have been fired with a win? Or was that just...
Probably would have been granted a reprieve. It's an interesting question, an interesting thought. You know, I think what was surprising was that they were thinking about doing it during the bye week, and they didn't do it. And they brought him into one more game at Atlanta, and we saw the result. It was not favorable, and they decided to make the move. But, you know, look, so much of this league is decided on a simple thing like that. Like, the Bucs failed on that conversion, didn't get the play, and Mike Smith is fired on Monday.
Yeah.
Now, if they got in the play, I don't see too many coordinators fired off a win. It does happen, but it's a little unusual. And my guess is he would have survived another week, but if they had one more meltdown at that point in time, it would be only a question of time, a matter of time before he was let go.
Could you say, I know it's rare that coaches that don't get fired in the middle of the season, I get that, but between Koetter and, you know, possibly Van Joseph, and I can't ever remember an NFL team give up that kind of rushing yardage in consecutive weeks, or 3, 4 weeks in a row like that. I mean, they give up running yards like teams give up passing yards. I think it's unbelievable to me to see where that Bronco defense has gone. John Elway called him now very soft as opposed to soft last year. I don't know. Could Cutter and or Van Joseph be in trouble?
Yeah, you know, the issue is who are you going to hire to go take their place, mm-hmm. right? So in Denver, you're not going to promote a defensive coach, and you don't like to take the offensive coach away because he's busy with the game plan. So it leaves you the special teams coach in Denver, Tom McMahon. They don't know that he can coach as a head coach. And realistically, if they don't win this week and they lose some more games, they're not going to playoffs anyway. So you might as well just give Vance Joseph the majority of the season before you decide to make the move. And the same story in Tampa. Mm-hmm. If you fired Derek Cutter this week, you're not replacing him with the defensive side of the football. You just made changes there. You're not replacing him on the offensive side of the football, I don't think. It's Todd Monken who replaced Derek Cutter as the offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. You could always go to the special teams coach, but if the season's slipping away, what are you doing anyway?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I know that fans want blood, and they smell blood, and they want changes, and let's cut off heads and hang people publicly. I got it, because people get upset about their football teams, and that's why there's so much passion involving this game. But the fact of the matter is, you know, it's not like losing it. Let's go fire the coach. Yeah. That's going to solve everything. It's going to solve nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Now, in Dallas, we got the Dallas Morning News. Jeff Sullivan is reporting that there was actually an extension in the works for Jason Garrett. Jerry Jones denies it, says, I've never even said those words to anybody. He's making this stuff out of thin air.
I don't believe that to be true,
yeah.
An extension.
Yeah. I wouldn't either.
All right, another coach I want to get into a little bit. John Gruden's quotes were a little disturbing, a little shocking. When he talked about having to do research to go to London, and then he went into that diatribe about, you know, going to see his son in Belarus, and he has vertigo, and I understand all that, but I'm a little concerned about John Gruden, and I'm concerned, Adam, that I'm wondering if he's actually even going to make it to Vegas by the time they get there. I don't know. I know he's a little bit of an odd duck a little bit, and I respect him. I respect him as a coach, as an analyst. I thought he was great, but my God, I don't know. Something seems a little off, doesn't it?
A lot of money in that contract. Now, yep. Again, having watched John, observed him, you know, had the fortune of working with him, which I enjoyed tremendously, he missed coaching, and he was going to go coach at some point. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no doubt about it that he had the Jones to coach again. And I think he was just waiting for what he perceived to be the right opportunity to come along. And this opportunity came along, and you know, it was the Raiders, the team that once traded him, Rich Tradition, Mark Davis offered the money that he did. You know, who's going to turn down $100 million over 10 years?
Not me.
100 plus million. Nobody.
Nobody.
So,
yeah.
So, and by the way, you know, the longer you're away from the game, the tougher it is to get back in. So if he was ever going to make the move, this was going to be the time to go make that move. And he did, and he headed in there. And again, so far, it has not worked out the way that people would like. And, you know, that's this year. Next year could be something entirely different. We'll see. But the early results are not promising.
But just a quick follow-up. But, I mean, with the Khalil Mack mismanagement and then coming out, you know, days later and saying, you know, it's tough to find an elite pass rusher. And Derek Carr recently saying, rebuilding. I don't want none of that nonsense. I might rebuild. I mean, there seems to be – I mean, obviously the record proves it. There seems to be – some friction there, but Derek Carr wants to hear nothing about rebuilding. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's a tough situation for everybody, and you know, it looks like it's going to be a lost season for the Oakland Raiders.
And along those lines, I read a report earlier today that Amari Cooper is being shopped around. John Gruden says no. And with the rebuild comments, you wonder if everybody's on the trade block. But anything to the Amari Cooper one?
I think they've had some conversations with some teams. I think his name has come up. I you know, the teams I spoke to last week did not believe it to be serious. Now, that doesn't mean that he's not traded, but I think if he were traded, I'd be a little surprised. But look, anything's possible with them.
Mm-hmm. All right, what's the game plan with Le'Veon Bell as far as we know? I thought he'd be showing up today.
You want me to read the mind of somebody who his own team can't even get a handle on? Look, the only thing I know is that there were people who thought he would be in there this week. He's not. The Steelers basically don't expect him till next week, if then. And so we've got a situation where You know, I would think he'll be back next week, but nobody really knows for sure.
Well, help me out with the deadlines, because we all know that. Well, we said he had to be there through week 10 to get his years or his credit.
Yeah, but the truth is, no. He still would be a free agent at the end of the year. I mean, the contract would toll, but it's a little confusing. The bottom line is, the longer he stays away, he's just bypassing the chance to make $855,000 a week. Now, again, this is a bye week. He would have made $855,000 for showing up there this week and doing nothing, and he didn't do that. So I don't understand, like, why he wouldn't be there today, signing on the bottom line to finish out the season, to get in shape to play against Cleveland.
Yeah.
So the fact that he's not there this week, if I were a Steelers fan and I wanted him back on the field, I would be a little troubled by that, because that's not a good sign.
Oh, and I agree with you completely. And what about his teammates? I mean, they've already come out once, the offensive line, and bashed him. And I'm wondering now, a lot of guys, you know, giving him a second chance, this, that, and the other thing. Forget the fans. I got to believe that locker room must be completely agitated. They got to be pissed off as all hell, Adam, don't you think?
My guess would be that, we heard the Steelers talk earlier in the year. And they were, you know, they expressed displeasure with him. And I think, you know, that was going to create an awkward situation for whenever he did come back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Final question for me, Adam. What was your reaction when you saw Breland Speaks kind of slide off of Tom Brady and then say, well, I didn't want to get the penalty thrown on me, and then he ends up scoring a touchdown? What did you think when you saw that? And what did you think about his explanation?
Well, look, you know, the league has created these rules to favor the quarterback, and it's a difficult thing. I think the league is still trying to struggle to figure out how to do this and how to implement the right rules and whatnot, because it's just nobody really understands what to expect on a week-to-week basis. It's different from crew to crew, from week to week, from game to game, and that's been the hard thing for players to get used to. It's hard enough rule as it is to slow down your momentum or change the course of how you're going to collide with the quarterback, but then, you know, you can put some weight on, but not all your weight. Like, what does that mean? Is that 50 pounds? How are we met? I mean, it's kind of crazy. So I think everybody's just trying to figure out what they can and can't do, and it's difficult for defensive players.
Well, final question for me, of course. So you are the, you're right up there with Woj as the NBA, you know, insider now as well. So the NBA season is starting tonight.
Yeah.
Who is your, just one question, real simple. What is the way, 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 way too early final pick from Adam Schefter, East and West?
I think I probably would take Boston versus Golden State. And it's hard not to take Golden State, right?
Yep.
And I think Boston will be very good. I'm sure that's probably a very conventional standard pick, but it'd be tough to go against that right now. So I'll say, you know what? Actually, I'm going to change it.
Oh, we got a wild card coming. There we go.
Audible.
I'm going to go Philadelphia, Golden State.
Oh, all right. Joel Embiid and company.
I liked you a lot, so you just said that.
No. I like even more. All right, Adam. As always, it is a pleasure. Thank you so much
for
joining
Adam.
Us. Talk to you next
have
week.
Have a great week. We'll talk next week. Enjoy the start of the NBA season.
You got it. Thank you. That is Adam Schefter, our NFL and NBA
Dead
insider.
To Dead to me.
Yeah, your Celtics are tonight, right? They're one of the two games.
Yeah, from by all accounts, I've watched, I could honestly say 30. They've been on TV a lot in preseason. I've watched about 30 seconds because I hate preseason anything on the whole. But
yeah, you watch for 30 seconds.
Well, by accident, more than likely.
On your way flipping
to
another
three times. You know, on
you were trying to get to the Patriots or the Red Sox game, stumbled upon the Celtics preseason.
Or the Bruins, on his way past the Bruins.
Right, whatever. Yeah. But they haven't looked particularly well, by all accounts, in the preseason. But, you know, it's game one tonight. Well, who knows?
A lot of stock goes into that.
Just
NBA preseason.
I hope it goes a lot better than last year's game one.
See, I think the NBA preseason kicks off tonight. The regular season kicks off Christmas Day.
It's a good way to look at it.
Yeah,
it's a good way to look at it.
Yeah.
Tonight, for your enjoyment, Sixers and Celtics. That's the first game. And then Oklahoma City without Russell Westbrook and the Warriors, who will be getting their rings tonight. And the Warriors say that's an odd night. Of course, you know. They know.
They'd be used to it by now, think.
Yeah.
Their final year in the Oracle.
Yeah. They said they want to win one more in the Oracle. I mean, they want to win
Matter
what. Right, exactly.
Whatever, you got to keep the thing going to, by the way, 2-1 odds.
Yeah.
They're not winning it this year. I don't know how or why.
Then you're anticipating a Kevin Durant injury at some point.
And a Steph Curry injury.
They're not going to win it this year. Something's going to happen.
Okay.
All right.
I'm taking the field.
I'll take the Warriors.
Okay.
Then you're taking Houston in the West? What are we doing?
No, he doesn't know how. He's just taking taking 29 teams.
Yep.
We're taking one.
Oh, the Warriors could still get to the finals under your scenario.
Yeah.
They're just not winning it?
Sure.
Okay. They're not winning it. I have it written.
How many people
right
know
here
that the NBA season starts tonight? We should have put that on our Lumpy's Golf Twitter poll to be.
We actually talked about doing it.
We never did. Because I'm going to bet you there's a nice percentage, not overwhelming, but I bet there's a nice percentage of people that don't even know the NBA season starts tonight. That's what I'm thinking. Then I was going to put Warriors or the field.
And we will not be carrying that game tonight. We will have both LCSs.
Yeah, we're carrying the Red Sox in progress right after we get done.
Yeah, so I'm thinking it'll be about the third, but
you never know.
Who knows?
We will not preempt Sheeman and Shepard for baseball.
No.
Never. Will not happen.
Well, another quirky start time for the home team. 4:07 local first pitch.
Yeah, they're central time there in H-Town.
Yeah, and the other game tonight doesn't start till what, 9?
I think it's 9:07.
9:07? I got it right here. What the kids did I do with
it? So that's a 6:07. That's a better start time than yesterday's game for people out in Los Angeles.
Well, they could have started this game. They could have started this
9:09, sorry.
9:09. They could have started the Red Sox game at 7 and the other game at 10.
That would have been very reasonable. Yeah.
Well, it's 9 o'clock central time for the Brewers fan, and they already have a bit of a complex about themselves.
Yeah, but it's too bad. It's number two market is Los Angeles. That's too bad about Milwaukee.
Got to get those West Coast numbers.
I have a feeling they don't want to go up against the NBA either. You know, there's a little gap. They are actually.
I don't think they're concerned about the NBA.
They shouldn't be.
The opening night.
Concerned about Tuesday night Mac football.
That's right.
I don't think that started yet.
No, it hasn't started yet. But actually, there was a game last Wednesday, right? It was Georgia Southern or something
played
last Wednesday. Yeah, I nailed it.
App State, Arkansas State.
Yeah, I said on the air, you weren't here. I said App State all the way, lay the 9.5. Blew them out.
You are
my
phenomenal.
Tuesday night record is flawless.
You are phenomenal on
flawless.
Tuesday through Friday football.
Tuesday through Thursday.
It's the weekend football.
Tuesday, Wednesday, really. That's my go-to. The Tuesday, Wednesday games, I'm unbeatable.
It's Saturday, Sundays that we're struggling with. All of them.
Are you talking about Pete's record picking games on Saturday and Sunday?
Uh-huh.
Because I'm not.
No, it said Tuesday,
Wednesday.
Well,
you can't. I mean.
Well, you can't, Craig. You're worse than him.
First of all, I'm the defending champion, number one. Number two, I'm only one game behind him, and I was like 7 games behind him 2 weeks ago. I'm on a roll. I am on fire. If you were to touch me right now, you would burn.
It's so bad.
I am on fire.
You're the defending champion at 64-64-3. Yeah? I can't even say anything because I only had 58-70-3.
Well, that's the mark I'm going for this year. 58. I got to surpass the 50. I want more wins than my Marlins have this year. That's what I want.
Let's get you to 20 wins before we start talking.
Oh, relax. I'm going to hit that on Saturday.
All right.
Relax.
Taking Tennessee.
People are going to start asking for my picks by like November 1.
Okay.
I'm going a little heater here for the next few weeks. Reel off a couple 7-0 weekends, maybe throw in a 6-1 bad week in there.
Yeah.
Be good to go.
Yeah, you're the new Gabe. No one's ever gone
7-0 on this program.
Yeah, you tried to
6-1
go the other way last week though, didn't you, Pete?
I almost made it.
Thank gosh for you in the Rams Broncos game. You got that one right.
It's terrible.
All right, any comments on anything
screwed me.
We just had Adam Schefter on his appearance, of course, brought to you by Naples Wealth Planning. Check out betterplantoday.com. Schedule yourself a free consultation. We can comment on anything that he talked about. We'll get back more into I'm going to get this conversation going again. I give it Nick Bosa, who's just bailing, just getting out of Ohio State.
These players, and maybe they'll think about staying.
I don't know. You got to pay him a $1,000 stipend versus the $25 million he's about to sign
saying.
April. That's what he's weighing right
Could
now.
Could be an incentive to stay. I think we're going to see so many kids bail over the next several years, way more than we're seeing now, whether they're in the college football playoff or not.
I'm telling you, they're going to bail on their junior seasons next. Mm. They're going to pull a Le'Veon Bell and just rest themselves. Sheeman and Shepard on, you know what, while we're at it.
What if a 5-star just says, not playing. I'll wait till I go pro.
Yeah.
3 years from now, to his little brother.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Could happen. Before we go anywhere, I'm getting backed up. Let's give away the $50 Amazon gift card.
Sure, let's do it.
Right here? All right, have you ever heard of 10 Water? You have now. 10 Water and 99.3 ESPN are teaming up to keep you hydrated. Sources from some of America's purest springs. 10 Water has the highest pH among bottled water brands and is rich in essential alkaline minerals and electrolytes. to help fend off flu season and prevent dry skin this fall. Call now for your chance to win a $50 Amazon gift card for a month's supply of 10 water available online at local retailers. You can call us right now at 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Let's do caller number 9. Get yourself the $50 Amazon gift card from 10 Water and 99.3 ESPN.
This is Scheman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN online at 99.3ESPN.com. Scheman and Shepard.
I'm Craig Scheman along with Pete Shepard on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN.
Wow.
Tonight's poker night. Down at the Dog Track, Naples-Fort Myers Greyhound Track. Come by and see us at 7 o'clock. Play some poker. Get a $100 bounty for knocking us out. I want to congratulate Doug. He won the $50 gift card from Amazon and 10 Water. By the way, a little sidebar. I know you got some news. I gotta ask a quick question. So yeah. As Doug was our winner, you know, when Rick Church was in here all last week in place of Chris, we had the callers because we, you know, we give and we give and we give and we get the phone number out, caller number 9, callers call all the time. Callers were saying that Rick is much nicer than Chris when Chris answers the phone during contest time. I don't know what that means. I don't know what goes on the other side of the glass. I don't know what Rick was doing on the other side of the glass. I'm just kind of curious.
I don't know. Seems okay to me.
Are you polite back
there,
Chris?
Rick sent that text to me.
After he hits, you know, Rick is a very conscientious guy and a nice guy and a sweetheart. And he after he sent it, he was like, oh, I probably should.
No, but sometimes
he wanted to unsend it.
You get a gazillion calls, and when you have to go through 100 people at a time and go, I got my winner, some people might think that's rude, but it's not being rude. We just got a show to do.
Listen, there are producers that just don't pick up after they have their winner. Yeah. I at least pick up the phone so you're not sitting there letting it ring for 5 minutes.
My favorite was used to leave and dopey callers that you hated on hold for an hour and 45 minutes and go to them 2 minutes before the show ends, and they say hello, and then you hang up.
I got to go.
Yeah.
We don't have any dopey callers. So you feel free to call
here.
It
not here,
239-337 ESPN.
My buddy Kevin Winter, you know Kevin, he does the updates on ESPN. He's play-by-play guy at ESPN, does SportsCenter stuff, and hosts college football. Just made me upset.
A little sad, huh?
Breaking news.
No, we're not gonna run a sounder under this.
It's 42 minutes old, but I just found out.
This is heartbreaking.
Really? What is it?
I've seen all the shows.
Yeah.
The Bunny Ranch. Brothel owner and Nevada Assembly candidate, Dennis Hoff, dead at the age of 72. The Bunny Ranch guy. Running for Congress. Could have been Congressman Hoff.
It's gonna be hot where he's going.
Do you know who found him in his bed?
No, I didn't see the story.
Ron Jeremy.
No.
Yes.
At the Bunny Ranch? Where, though?
Yes. At the Bunny Ranch. His manager, or his campaign manager, Chuck Muff, M-U-T-H,
seriously?
Tweeted out that...
if I got to find this.
Tweeted out, quote, Ron Jeremy found him this morning when he went to wake him to go to a meeting.
So he wasn't with anybody.
A meeting? Air quotes?
No, he's running for Congress.
Oh, well, not anymore.
With Ron Jeremy.
Democrat or Republican?
Republican.
Republican.
Seriously?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
There's nothing on his Twitter page. I don't follow him. I just went to it. Oh, my God.
Who, Dennis Hoff or Ron Jeremy?
Ron Jeremy. I go to Dennis. Let me see Dennis.
I wouldn't type anything Ron Jeremy at work computer. It's show related?
It's on Twitter. He has a Twitter. Oh, here it is. I followed Dennis. I just followed him. How many followers does he have? 25,400.
He was mounting a Trump-style campaign.
What? He was what?
It was a Trump-style campaign.
Just want to make sure I heard that correctly.
Let's see. The last thing he tweeted out. Ooh.
Yeah, exactly.
Retweet?
No, I'm not retweeting it. I'm just looking. No, it's...
He's
not looking good.
Campaign manager Muff, M-U-T-H, told the Gazette Journal, we had a wonderful event last night. He was having the time of his life last night.
Maybe too good.
I'm looking.
Grover Norquist was there. Ron Jeremy was there. He was given a rescue dog as a birthday present. He was having the time of his life.
Until
he also has a book out called The Art of the Pimp.
Because we all know.
He's a legal pimp. That's what he does.
Pimping ain't easy. We all know that.
No.
Been said a million times by many people. Pimping ain't easy.
Did he have the Technicolor dream coat jacket like Kramer when he was when he borrowed one from that was looking like a pimp at the end of the Seinfeld episode? Probably not.
They want me to sign up for the newsletter. I went to the bunnyranch.com site just to see. There's nothing here about it.
His Democratic opponent, Lysia Romanov, did not release a statement yet.
For those that may not know, the Bunny Ranch is a legal brothel in Nevada.
And the show on HBO is hysterical. And forget the nudity and that kind of, just the dialogue. The dialogue is priceless. Absolutely priceless. No, that show's been on for like 18 years. It was on like 18. It had like two or three seasons. Like 18 years was on. But no. Nah, he's gone. Dennis Hoff dead at 72.
He gone.
Gone. No more.
Lost
terrible.
Him. Lost him and Hugh Hefner in the same year.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
They could be roommates in the afterlife.
Dude, and I love this because you are so uncomfortable talking about it that it makes me feel comfortable making you uncomfortable.
239-337.
What's your favorite Dennis Hoff moment?
I don't have one. Scott in Fort Myers. You're on Sheeman and Shepherd. Hello.
Hey, Scott. Hey, Chris. Welcome back, my man.
Thank you.
Are you sleeping?
In spurts. 2-hour spurts.
You seem like a little salty, but you're on your game. So that's good.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess I wanted to ask you, since we're on this topic, what do you think are most porn stars, Democrat or Republican?
The stars?
I think they can swing both ways.
It depends.
Good one.
It depends. Yeah, Stormy Daniels, by the way, they dropped that lawsuit against
her. Is she Republican or Democrat?
I guarantee you she's not a Republican anymore.
But the judge threw that lawsuit out of court with Trump. So that's with the president. That's gone. That lawsuit's gone.
I mean, we've only got like 4 minutes left. We might as well stay on the topic.
Well, I was going to say.
But the Bunny Ranch show, it would literally, you walk up, and I don't know how much, they never really said how much.
No, they don't
cost.
Give you pricing.
But
there's not like a menu behind
you
the.
Like a McDonald's pricing thing? No,
it's like a lineup.
It is. It's a lineup. Bar. You go in, you have a drink, and then they call the girls out, and they're dressed in bikinis and stuff, and then you do what you want. You pick what you want, and it's very organized and very. I'm sure they must have had some incidents there before.
Oh, isn't that where Lamar Odom was?
Lamar Odom died there about eight times.
Well, that was because he was drugs and.
He stroked out, had heart attacks, and was on cocaine.
Yeah.
And doesn't remember.
But he could have done that anywhere. I mean, that could have happened anywhere.
Right. Anywhere in Nevada.
Yeah. Yeah. You run that risk. Ron
Jeremy found Dennis Hoff.
Was it a political party they were having?
I'm assuming. But I'm finding this from the New York Post.
I want to know what happened to the dog. Somebody gave him a dog for a present the night before, and now he's gone.
Story right now.
Dog doesn't know who his master is.
Dennis
Hoff.
Oh, my gosh. I'm just going to read from the AP, okay? This is not me. This is the Associated Press. This is the big story.
Legitimate
Dennis Hoff, a legal pimp
who
gained notoriety for an HBO series about his business and who had fashioned himself as a Donald Trump-style Republican candidate for the state legislature, has died. An employee at Hoff's Love Ranch brothel, about an hour outside of Vegas, summoned authorities a little before 11 o'clock this morning after Hoff was found unresponsive and not breathing. That's according to Nye County Sheriff Lieutenant David Berkowitz. He declined to say where on the property Hoff was found and said people at the business were being questioned. Preliminary, there is no indication of foul play. He turned 72 on Sunday, just had his birthday.
Wow.
Was the Republican candidate this year and a heavily GOP state legislative
district. We got a dog.
But celebrating his birthday at a hotel room in the rural city of Pahrump, that Hoff had said would be attended by porn star Ron Jeremy, rapper and reality television star Flavor Flav, John Arapio.
Flavor Flav has made our show 2 days in a row now.
The former six-term sheriff of Metropolitan Phoenix was going to be.
It's officially a streak, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a streak.
And,
it's like a Snapchat streak.
I've got the fallout from the political side here. Due to Nevada election law,
Nevada.
He'll be listed on the ballot in November, signs will be posted at polling places in the districts alerting voters that he has passed away. If he wins, the seat would be considered vacant And Nevada Deputy Security of State Elections Wayne Thierley told the Gazette Journal, and then that's what would happen. So
I'm
it'd
making
be
this
an
prediction
empty,
right now.
Empty
he's
seat.
He's winning the election.
I think he's winning the elections as well.
Not only does dead guy win election, that's always a great story because it happens every generation or so. But then you got like dead guy who owned a brothel wins an election. That's a great story.
This checks so many boxes.
Yeah.
For today's
the TMZ world,
right? Like this has so many layers to it.
The HBO, again, the show
and
was
Ron Jeremy finding him is the cherry on the top that you're looking for.
And again, it's so on HBO, it's Cat House, and you said he had the book, The Art of the Pimp, played on Trump's book, The Art of the Deal.
You think he died during?
No, apparently he was alone.
Coitus?
Do we know that? Do we know that?
No, he was alone.
This report says they don't know what room he was in. If Hoff wins the election.
Terrible news.
Oh, wow. I guess he had a good chance to win. He was running against Las Vegas educator.
He's a Republican in Nevada. That's
in northern Nevada, right? Well, this isn't Vegas. This is off the beaten path.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so, that would
Republican
be
territory.
That's red area.
Yeah, that's very red.
I mean, he upended Nevada politics this summer when he ousted an incumbent Republican lawmaker in a primary celebrating at an election night party with Hollywood Madam Heidi Fleiss. All right. He said the anti-brothel push and regulatory problems he's faced this year were political retribution. He'll be missed.
He will be missed.
Cat House is I'm telling you, for an adult, a Cat House was a fascinating, funny show. And it's one of those shows you shake your head and you go, I cannot believe.
Was
this,
that an
this
HBO?
Actually, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can still go to an on demand.
I have no interest in going.
I think you
There's
do.
There's nothing on HBO I need to see right now. I mean, Hard Knocks isn't even on anymore.
Yeah, it is. It's not on demand.
It's a little late. Cat's out of the bag. I already know Baker Mayfield's the starting quarterback.
Or the Cat House is out of the bag. Wow.
All right.
It's making headlines.
Are we done?
I don't know.
I can go to break. Or I can keep. Actually, I do have to go to break. Try to keep on
you
time
do.
These days. All right. With that in mind.
Tell Zito. Zito's friends with him.
Yeah, I'm texting with him.
Oh, he knows?
Yeah.
He literally is friends with this dude?
Oh, yeah.
What's his connection? I mean, maybe I shouldn't ask.
Yeah.
Or is this the more...
I don't know.
This just happened, too. This is even off. This is worse.
Save it for the break.
Were you going to say awful?
Real quick.
We're late.
Tennessee's media notes have listed Nick Saban's record as Auburn's coach. Ouch.
Oh, I can't even proofread.
That's not good.
Yeah, and you think they're going to be close.
They're going to be close.
Go Vols. Good.
All right, coming up, your chance to win a trip to see Golic and Wingo.
It is a good song,
too.
It's way better. It's a good college song.
Rocky Top or Dolphin Song?
No, Rocky.
Dolphin Song.
Don't even put them in the same
breath. We might need to have a song off when we come back.
Better banjo.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. And the 99.3 ESPN app. Call or text us at 337-3776. And listen wherever you are on the 99.3 ESPN app. Now, it's Sheeman and Shepherd.
All right, I want to know, are we gonna have a song off between Rocky Top and Chris's Silly Little Dolphin song? Well, I was kind of in the mood for that going into the break. We have the production ability to do that?
You know what's interesting is Jeff Duncan, who's a columnist for NOLA.com, Times-Picayune in Louisiana.
Yeah.
He's a radio guy, too. But he has my ranking of best workout songs. I think I might know one of them. Ready for this?
How many is it?
Five.
Okay.
It's five.
All right.
From five to one. Fifth, No Sleep Till Brooklyn, Beasties. I know that song.
I don't know that song.
Yes,
Beastie
you,
Boys.
You would
yes,
if you
oh,
heard.
Oh, okay.
No Sleep Till Brooklyn. You
That's
know.
Not helping. Yeah. Okay. What else?
Number four, Talking Out the Side of Your Neck by Cameo. Now, I like Cameo. They did Word Up, remember?
No.
Now, Word Up. I mean,
oh, yeah, I know that.
But that's not the song. It's Talking Out the Side of Your Neck. I think I know that song.
Oh.
Three is California Love by Tupac and Dr. Dre.
Oh, you know I'm down with Tupac.
Dre.
Yeah, okay, so now you've heard of two songs.
No, I probably wouldn't know it if I heard it.
Well, hold on. I'm still trying to find the Beastie Boys.
Yeah, No Sleep Till Brooklyn. It's just a loud it's them screaming.
It's not loud.
Fight for Your Right for Party was okay. Sabotage. I like Sabotage. I like Sabotage better than No Sleep Till Brooklyn. Love Sabotage. That's a good workout song.
See, I'm not as familiar with new Beastie Boys. Beastie Boys, when they came out, I was in college.
That's what this is.
This is old Beastie Boys?
Yeah.
This is
yeah.
80s Beastie Boys?
Maybe.
Or is this like 2000 Beastie Boys before one of the Beastie Boys died?
Beastie Boys. 80s. They had yeah. three songs.
No, they made a comeback in the 2000s.
By singing all the old songs.
No, they did. They did some new stuff.
Fight for Your Right to Party.
Right, that's
80s. Sabotage and No Sleep Till Brooklyn. Okay. I don't know any other song they sang.
They had a comeback in the 2000s, and then one of them died.
Well, yeah, I know that.
So that's game over at that point.
All right, number two on the list is Lose Yourself by Eminem, your favorite.
Oh, of course, yeah. That should have been number one.
Yeah, number one.
How's that go? Lose Yourself. Number one.
You serious?
Yeah.
All right, well, hold on. Let me play California Love for you guys first because the beginning of that song is pretty recognizable.
All right, you better bleep it out, though.
Yeah, I got a dump button.
Uh-oh.
Unbelievable. It did it to me.
Siri.
Wow.
Your phone is just going nuts.
Stay away, Siri.
Best that you turn Siri your phones off before doing a radio show. Just saying.
I'll keep it on vibrate, but apparently doesn't matter.
Still, Siri talks no matter what.
California Love by Tupac and Dre coming up, followed by Lose Yourself by Eminem.
By the way, it's Tupac. I say Tupac. Just want to correct.
Tupac Shakur. This is California Love.
Yes, you've heard this song. You lived in L.A.
I know this song. Oh, I know this song. I thought he didn't know it. I know this song.
Okay. I know it now that I'm hearing it. All right. Wouldn't have known it unless you played it. Yeah, I've heard this, yeah.
Yeah, I'm
sorry. We're not allowed to play songs.
We're just sampling.
Right. This is sampling.
We played that California song,
lose
Cruising Down to 405.
Eminem.
You Lose Yourself. You've heard this song.
I probably have, but I forget. I can't. I mean, I know the only Eminem song is the... what's the first hit he had? That was
Vanilla Ice.
Vanilla Ice, baby. God, you sound like me.
Eminem.
I would expect that out of me.
Sounds like U2-ish.
It's a long intro, sorry. Yeah, really, it's like a 30-second intro.
Radio stations usually skip this part.
Yeah, they do. I don't have the MP3 or the Wave. I only have the MP3.
Yeah. You can fast forward through it.
Well, it picks up here.
This really is a warm-up portion of the workout.
Wow, good taco song.
Nah, you know this.
Oh, dun. Oh, God, yeah.
Okay.
Hang on.
Keep it for a minute. Oh, maybe we better bail.
Nah.
No, I know every lyric to this song. We're good.
And then Green Day. And I like Green Day, but I don't know. I mean, I probably know this song, but I don't. Jesus of Suburbia.
Jesus.
Not Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus of Suburbia by Green Day.
Huh.
I don't know. I probably know that song. That's the number one workout song by Jeff Duncan.
Who knew? We could do this, but we couldn't do our Rocky Top Dolphins song off that I requested.
Fact.
Rocky Top blows
Rocky Top
Dolphins song away.
Rocky Top
is one of the best
stupid.
College songs out there.
Rocky
Might
Top's
be the best one.
Nope.
How many colleges have a theme song? Not like Michigan and Notre Dame, not that, but a theme song.
Sweet Home Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rocky Top,
which by the way, cannot be played at Auburn. It's too bad. Although I think I've heard it there before.
All right, Sweet Home Alabama, Rocky Top. Country Road is by...
Country Road, yeah,
who does
thank
that?
You.
John Denver.
Yeah, but that's in
West Virginia.
Yeah,
who's
obviously.
Dead?
West Virginia. Yeah. I don't know. Do I hear that song in Mountaineer games?
You should if you don't.
When they score touchdowns?
Who knows?
I have to listen.
I've been to West Virginia in a while. All right, tell you what. Let's do another giveaway because I got so much stuff to give away. Let's give away another.
LSU fans sing the song Neck. I can't repeat any of the lyrics, but LSU fans are appreciative that I just put that out there for everybody to hear.
Neck, as in like making out necking?
No, they just.
Redneck.
I'll tell you off air.
They just did something. I just read something about them where they brought back a song and changed the lyrics.
It's called Neck.
Is that what it is? I remember them talking about
and
that.
And they talk about. It's not very nice they're asking the other team to do to them.
The AD let that
song
come back.
To perform on them, I guess.
Really?
The AD let that song come back. I read that last week.
Because the students were just singing it on their own.
Yeah.
It was great.
It's classless. Ed Orgeron wouldn't sing that song. All right, we got a 99.3 ESPN Radio prize pack for you, and this helps get you qualified for your shot to win a round-trip flight to Bristol, Connecticut, hotel stay, and sit in on the Golic and Wingo show for a day. And then tour the palatial ESPN Mothership Studios and their entire campus. What?
Palatial.
Extravagant.
Like big, like a palace.
Regal.
Like a Taj Mahal.
I don't know.
Like the word from palace.
Using big words on me.
Sorry, I'm not going to spell it. Anyway. Oh, see, now the phones are jacked up already.
Phones are lit up already, so just...
Caller number 9-239-337-ESPN, Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN Radio.